Tomas Sangakkara is aware that they just need to keep things going, and of course he tried to hit that one straight down the ground, missed it, and Bracken was bang on target.
Chopped it on, lost a wicket early. Nathan Bracken did the business in Durban, and he started by getting dipping today.
Some highlights of a 5-test career for Nathan Bracken, 116 one-day internationals, and he joins us on the line now. Good afternoon to you, Nathan.
Good afternoon. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Very well. First off the top, you played against the West Indies, I think, was it your first test series back in the early 2000s or mid-2000s?
Second test series.
Second.
I did get to play against them. And on talent and on paper, they're a very good side, and they're a side that can surprise you. And I think at the moment they're struggling with confidence, and they're just struggling with, I guess, everybody saying that they're not good enough and they're not going to be much of a threat.
It's something that's been going on for a while, though, isn't it, Nathan? I mean, back to that series that you played against him mid-2000s, I think you, and please don't take this the wrong way, but you got your best batting and bowling figures in your test career against the West Indies back then, getting the wickets, I think, of Chandrapool and Lara. This team has been this country, I suppose, or this nation of countries, has been declining for a while, and now we've got the end product of that decline, it would look like.
Yeah, they have, and when you look at it, it's probably happened a lot faster than everybody expected, because you're now looking, you're chucking the IPL, you're chucking the Big Bash in there, you're chucking other T20 competitions, which, one, pay the guys very, very well, which is something they probably don't receive out of their board, and that's just the financial restrictions that they have on themselves over there, and you can understand that, and the players are out there trying to make a buck and sort of get through, and it sort of happened. And then you've obviously got all the dramas that have gone on internally with the board and selections and those sort of things, which have damaged, I guess, reputations of board members, and there's egos playing a part in what's happening.
It would also seem that for the kids of the West Indies as well, Nathan, they have other things now that they're focusing on, whereas before it was primarily cricket, because that's where all the heroes were, the Viv Richards, the Joel Garners, the Malcolm Marshalls, those guys. Those crickets may have slipped away now as basketball and athletics and those sort of sports, even football to an extent, really start to creep into the lifestyle, the Calypso lifestyle, and it seems to be dragging out the better athletes, and they're not turning to cricket anymore.
Yeah, and then tracking music and other things like that as well, which has always been big in the Caribbean. They're now starting to get success with that. So there's a lot of things now that have sort of changed and giving people more views on what they can do and where they can be. And I know I went over there commentating a few years ago, and there's still people playing cricket. It's everywhere, and you see the talent they've got. But it's probably, yeah, as you said, there's other things there. They're playing cricket during the summer, but they're doing other things. And then it's where the opportunities come. And often you're sort of 22 to 24 before you should get that opportunity in cricket, where in athletics and other sports, you can be 18, 19 when you're representing your country. So that's an attraction there for them to get out and play those sports.
Another big thing, Nathan, that seems to be a real problem for all touring teams, not just to Australia, but even when Australia head overseas, is the lack of preparation that teams are putting in now before the start of a series. They'll arrive at a country and they might play a 2 or a 3 day game, and then they're straight into the first test. They're no good in the first test, and then all of a sudden they're playing another one and they're starting to get used to conditions. They get better in the second test, and by the time the third test is around, all of a sudden they're playing good cricket, but it's too late. The home team's already won the series.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and it's just scheduling. It's like they'll play a series, and like you have a look, even we take New Zealand into account. When they came out here, they had two warm-up games. One was on a extremely poor wicket in Sydney, which they pulled the pin on and bailed, which they tried to prepare themselves very well but didn't have that opportunity due to conditions. And then all of a sudden they finish here and they're straight back to New Zealand and playing. I think they started their game the day before we started here. So they chuck a flight in there as well, which is a day lost and all those sort of things. It's a schedule of cricket now, and how busy it is and how compact it is. And you look, even players playing in the T20 competitions, there's guys that are flying back and forth between Australia and New Zealand. That's happened for the last couple of years, just playing games. So they'll fly in the day before or 2 days out from a game, play, and then turn around and get on a flight back to Australia to come back here and play. So it's the demands on how it is, and the practice matches have been forgotten about.
What surprised me, though, was the fact also with this West Indies preparation that they only had a 2-day tour match which is against a young up-and-coming Victorian 11, scheduled between the first test and the Boxing Day test, when they had, even if it went for 5 days, the test, they still had a 12-day break. I can't believe that you'd only schedule a two-day match when you've got 12 days to play cricket. 2-3 days I would have thought would have been great, and have 6 days off.
The thing is, where are you going to get your players? That's your big thing. When you have a look at it now, the scheduling with the Big Bash and those sort of things on, you've got all your franchises are running rosters of probably 15 to 20 players. That's a hard thing. You're not going to get your players. You're not going to get players available to play, and the only ones you're going to get are players that aren't basically playing in T20, and they're probably your test players. So they're not going to turn up for a practice game against who they're going to play. Cool. And that's a hard thing. It's the compact schedule, whether it's domestic cricket or international cricket, it just makes everything so tight and difficult to get games in against quality players. I remember when I was with New South Wales and playing, we rolled out pretty much our every international player we had for a practice game against England. And it was Steve Waugh played, Mark Waugh played, everybody turned out for the game. And towards the end of my career there, we'd rest all our players, all the senior players would be rested from the tour game. So it just showed where the importance sat. We wanted to win the domestic competition, and a tour match was no points.
Crowd numbers, Nathan, do you think we could be in for a rude awakening come Boxing Day and a possible crowd of maybe 40,000, 45,000 on the first day?
I can say that I'm glad it's in Melbourne because I think the Melbourne public support the Boxing Day test fantastically well. And probably a lot of them turn up out of tradition and those sort of things, which I think is going to help support the numbers. But yeah, it is a scary thought of what can happen. I just hope the West Indies go out there, the young players they've got, and just forget everything, forget all the reputations, and go out and just play cricket, enjoy themselves and have a serious crack, because I think these guys are obviously, you're looking, they want to be the next Chris Gayle or Dwayne Bravo and these sort of players, and this is where they started. So it's their chance, go out, impress, play as best you can, because if you can perform well here, all of a sudden you're up on the international stage and you may get that opportunity in a year, 2-3 years' time, and it all starts now.
Well, the West Indian selectors may not have selection issues at the moment. Definitely the Australian selectors do, with a fantastic knock by Usman Khawaja last night at the MCG. He's a century, and effectively his third consecutive century this summer. And one would think that he's probably definitely knocking on the door, knocking it down to get back into that test team for Boxing Day.
Well, Darren Lehman's pretty much come out and said he's going to play, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
That's your thing now, sort of who misses out, and it's going to come down to what they want the balance of the side to be, really. If they want Usman Khawaja to bat at three, or they want him to open the batting, and how the balance is, and that's going to be the pressure that they're going to have to make that decision, and what the makeup of the side is going to be, because that probably decides on who stays and goes. If they're happy to bat Uzi anywhere in the order and he's just going to play a role and fit in, well then you're open for selections. But if all of a sudden they're saying, no, we want him to bat here, then it changes dramatically. And if they want him batting in the middle order, then it pretty much means Shaun Marsh is in a lot of trouble unless he's going to open the batting. And that's the decision they'll have to make. And those sort of questions start to come up, and it's a balance of the side. And it's probably something that Stephen Smith and Darren Lehman need to sit down and say, well, this is how we want to attack the game, and treat it as if they're playing the best side in the world, and just get that lineup right and give the guys the opportunity to play some cricket in those positions.
And you're dead right, Nathan. That's exactly the conversation that the selectors are going to be having. They're going to say, right, yeah, let's see who, let's get our openers for the next test. Warner's a lock. He's just there. Who's the better opener out of Burns, Khawaja, and Marsh?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I've always found Shaun Marsh difficult to bowl to. Okay. I enjoy bowling to left-handers, but he was somebody that always, I knew if I got it wrong, he was going to hurt me, and he was going to be able to score runs. Whereas as some players, you feel when you bowl, you know they're going to be hard work to get out, but you know they're not really going to cause a lot of damage. He was somebody that I saw play Knox, where he got a 60 odd against us off about 130, 140 balls on a wicket that was doing a little bit, and then next game he walked out and I saw he peeled off 100 off about 130 balls. So he's that sort of player that can float in his role and what he does. And he could be the perfect person to run with David Warner. If he's sort of pinned down, then Shaun Marsh can go. He can go hard and play and express himself. And then if it is tight, then all of a sudden he's a player that can bat at the other end and stay there. But it's got to be, I think it's got to be what and probably not the selectors. I think this is something where the coach and captain need to sit down and say, well, this is a plan, this is what we want to do, and this is how we want to play our cricket.
Yeah.
And almost let the selectors know, this is what we're looking for. Now you tell us who you think the best bloke is for it.
And then you've even brought on a bigger conundrum then, because if you think that Marsh is the better opener of the three, then all of a sudden Steve Smith has already come out, I think, in the last few days and said that he would like to go back to number three in the test team. That means you've got to play Khawaja at five or six. Is that the best spot for him? Probably not. He's probably better suited at three. It's a real conundrum.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. And that's the thing where people talk and speak and say what they want. And I think it's fantastic that players are coming out and saying, I want to bat at three, I want to open, I want to do this, because it's letting everybody know and it's letting the public know where they sit and what they want to do. And if Stephen Smith wants to bat at three and that's the best thing for the Australian side, well, then he bats at three.
Yeah.
And that means if he's good enough and your number three is no longer good enough and you need to find somebody to bat at four or five, well, then you need to find somebody to bat there.
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. Before I let you go, I've got to ask you about the T20 over the weekend. An amazing game last night between the Stars and the Thunder. I think if ever you wanted to see how a T20 match could look at its absolute best, I think we saw it last night. There's no doubt about that. And T20 is here to stay. You played 14 games. Is it going to take over from the one-day form of the game eventually?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's going to stay, and I think both forms are going to stay, because that's your biggest thing. It's something that creates opportunities at different levels for different people, and I think it's something that we need in the game. And it's just giving the people the opportunity to get out there and play some cricket in different styles. And we've seen the impact it's had with kids and families. And I know, living on the Central Coast of New South Wales, you see people walking around with Thunder and Sixers shirts on, whereas during the season of domestic cricket, you don't see anybody really walking around very much with a New South Wales shirt on. It's changed, and it's bringing different families to the game. It's bringing different people there. And I think it's something we need to keep in the game, and we need to keep going, and we need to keep all forms there. And it's finding the balance. And games like that last night show why we need to have it all there.
I had 30 other questions I wanted to ask you, mate, but we might save them for another time. Really appreciate your effort today, and I look forward to catching you again soon.
No worries. Take care.
Thanks, Nathan. Nathan Bracken joining us there, having a chat about cricket.